This Christmas, discover festive favorites at Harvey Norman. Gamers will love the latest gaming consoles. Tech fans, a sleek new smartphone. Active lifestyles, smart watches and fitness trackers. Music lovers, wireless headphones and portable speakers. Ice cream makers for dessert lovers. Air fryers for quick meals and outdoor grills for summer feasts. For fun and personal touches, instant photo printers, premium hair care and styling tools. From cutting edge gadgets to lifestyle luxuries, find everything you need to celebrate at Harvey Norman.
You're listening to SBS News.
This week, human rights experts from United Nations Working Group on Arbitrary Detention were blocked from inspecting detention facilities in the Northern Territory and West Australia. As they wrapped up a 12-day tour of facilities across the country, preliminary findings raised substantial concerns around the overrepresentation of First Nations people, punitive policies that target children, rising rates of remand and mandatory detention, among other issues. The federal immigration detention regime was also found to contravene fundamental international human rights norms, including the Commonwealth's recent deal with Nauru to deport stateless people. Australia's Human Rights Commissioner, Lorraine Finlay, says the findings show Australia is not complying with key international human rights commitments it has made to the world. She's speaking here with reporter T. Mitchell.
Can you start by explaining what arbitrary detention is, why it's important, and the role the UN Working Group plays in protecting vulnerable people's rights?
Arbitrary detention, at its most basic, is holding people in detention without the rule of law being applied, so unlawfully or in conditions that violate minimum human rights standards. So what the Working Group on Arbitrary Detention is a UN body that's made up of independent experts with a mandate to investigate cases of arbitrary deprivation of liberty. And as part of that, they conduct country visits each year, which is really a constructive opportunity for the countries they visit to engage with their expertise, noting that the committee doesn't just look at areas for improvement, although it does do that, but it also looks at best practices and things that the world can learn from the countries that they're visiting.
Yeah, looking at the preliminary findings that were released today, over the whole of Australia, there were a lot of positive notes in there, but there was also a comment that the NT government had shown a complete lack of cooperation, and I just wondered what you think's gone on there.
Well, we're seriously concerned with the fact that not only the Northern Territory government, but also the WA government seem to have blocked access to certain facilities, particularly youth detention facilities. And we understand that's been done for operational reasons and safety concerns. And while we accept that obviously safety has to be a priority, the fact that there are safety issues serious enough in either the Northern Territory or Western Australian youth detention facilities to block an expert oversight body from accessing those facilities, noting that this is an oversight body that does this type of thing every single day and routinely, that's a really troubling thing, and it raises serious transparency concerns, particularly when we know that those facilities have well-documented human rights issues and are specific facilities that the Australian Human Rights Commission and other bodies have raised significant concerns about over a long period of time.
A lot of the people held in those facilities, in youth detention generally, but in the NT particularly, will be First Nations people who are some of the most vulnerable in the country. And the working group expressed profound concern at their disproportionate representation in criminal justice systems. This week we also had the news that deaths in custody are at a 40-year high. What's your assessment of why these issues aren't getting any better?
You've absolutely touched on the core problem here. The thing that really deeply saddens me about this report is none of it is surprising. The issues that have been raised are issues that have been raised repeatedly over many years, and Australia simply has to do better. We know what we need to do. There are countless reports and recommendations telling us that we have a serious issue that needs to be addressed. What we need is the action on the ground to actually address it. And it's not only the overrepresentation of First Nations people that was called out by the Working Group on Arbitrary Detention, they also called for things like Australia to take urgent action to prevent or prohibit the solitary confinement of children and to end the detention of children in adult prisons by closing Unit 18, and also made comments not just about our domestic detention facilities, but about our immigration detention system, and called on Australia to take urgent action to ensure that that complies with our international human rights obligations. So as you noted, there are some positive things in the report that we should be looking at and we should be encouraged by, but there are some really serious challenges that have yet again been highlighted, and it's well overdue for us to stop talking about them, stop making more recommendations, and actually get on with fixing the problems.
I do want to talk about immigration detention, but just staying on these facilities that are run by states and territories. It does seem as though there's a move towards more punitive measures. So I'm thinking here about the laws introduced in the NT to lower the age of criminal responsibility from 12 to 10. Also bail laws. You know, just a few days ago, Queensland introduced legislation that would allow youth offenders to be fitted with ankle monitors. And quite often, these various bits of legislation actually contravene human rights charters or acts in the various states. So what's going on there? Because it's not as though there's not a response informed by evidence and things are staying the same. There's actually a lot of movement. Why is that, and how does that sit with Australia's human rights obligations and record?
Yeah, well, prior to being the Human Rights Commissioner, one of the things that I did as a lawyer was to actually work as a state prosecutor. So I very much understand the importance of community safety and having a robust criminal justice system to ensure that there is responsibility and accountability and that the community is kept safe. But to do that, we actually need to think about the root causes of crime. And one of the things that really troubles me about the approach we're taking in Australia is by just looking at punitive measures as almost a short fix, we're losing the opportunity to address those root causes and think about primary prevention. And the way to keep the community safe in the long term, and this is something that all of the experts agree on, is to look at those primary prevention methods, and that's not what we're doing at the moment, which is the really troubling part of it. And yet again, the UN Working Group on Arbitrary Detention has highlighted the concerns they have about these policies that don't meet our human rights obligations, and that also are problematic because they actually won't solve the problem in the long term because they're not addressing the underlying issues.
In the NT, the ombudsman there recently found that prison conditions were unreasonable and oppressive. There's very well documented issues with overcrowding and lockdowns, which would seem to be the reason that the working group wasn't allowed into facilities this time. What does it do to a child in particular when they're put in an environment like that?
Well, it obviously has an incredibly significant impact on that child, a significantly negative impact on that child, and not only on the child, but on the child, on their family, and on the broader community, because ultimately when that child emerges from a detention facility, they're often in a worse position than they were before they went in, and that's something that actually means the entire community ends up still having to deal with significant issues and significant problems. So both in terms of protecting individual children, but also protecting the broader community, we really need to get this right and we really need to start addressing these issues. And you mentioned that these are issues that have been raised repeatedly in terms of the conditions of those particular facilities. I think the other thing that it's really important for us to think about and understand is the UN Working Group on Arbitrary Detention was denied access in the Northern Territory and WA this time around. But this isn't a one-time issue. It's happened before in Australia and it shows a really troubling pattern of behaviour, because it comes just 3 years after the UN Subcommittee on the Prevention of Torture had to actually terminate their visit to Australia after they were blocked from accessing detention facilities in New South Wales and Queensland. Now, if Australia is actually complying with our human rights obligations, if what we're doing is best practice, then we should welcome scrutiny. And Australia really needs to show leadership on these issues and we should be opening ourselves up to oversight, to scrutiny, and displaying transparency and showing leadership to the world are upholding our human rights obligations, and that we're not afraid of actually holding ourselves to the same standards that we demand from others.
Mm-hmm. In Western Australia, the working group was allowed partial access, but not to youth detention facilities. And that includes Unit 18, where then 16-year-old Aboriginal teenager Cleveland Dodd self-harmed before later dying in a hospital. The coroner has called for that facility to be immediately shut down. And it's a blunt way to put it, but do you think the WA government is hiding something there?
Well, I would say firstly that the Australian Human Rights Commission absolutely echoes those calls that Unit 18 should be immediately shut down, and also that solitary confinement in youth detention centres for children needs to be prohibited. And that's a finding that's also being made by the UN Working Group on Arbitrary Detention. And again, we understand that access was denied due to safety concerns. I think the fact that there are safety concerns in those facilities sufficient to block an expert oversight body from accessing those areas is itself really troubling, and it raises serious transparency concerns, because we know that there are well-documented human rights issues at those facilities. We've been told recently, following the inquest findings being published by the WA government, that things have significantly improved over recent times in those facilities. If that's the case, it was a great opportunity to show that by allowing the expert group into the facilities and being open and transparent about what's happening.
I think there was also a finding that 42% of people being held in prison or detention facilities are on remand. And as I understand it, those rates of people on remand are increasing. Can you just talk me through some of the concerns that have been outlined there? Because, you know, I think for the public, it's one thing for someone to have been convicted of a crime and be in prison. Rightly or wrongly, people often, you know, sort of think they're getting their just deserts in a way. But for people who haven't even been convicted, they may also be experiencing substandard conditions. What are the concerns there?
Well, and if I could just address the first point where you said, you know, sometimes people think that people in prison who've been convicted might be getting their just deserts. And again, I would absolutely agree that it's important to have a strong criminal justice system and to ensure the community is protected and safe. But we also need to recognise that every single human being, including people who are convicted of crimes and detained in prisons, have minimum human rights standards that they're entitled to have met. So every single one of us, even those of us who've been convicted of offences, those minimum human rights apply, and it's important that they do. And we can, you know, judge our society by the way we treat people who are in prison, who are in situations where their rights or their liberty is being taken away, because there is a really high risk of abuse and of cruel and cruel practices occurring that we shouldn't be accepting. But moving on to the second part of your question, which is about people on remand, a fundamental tenet of our criminal justice system is the presumption of innocence. And so if people have been charged but haven't yet had a trial, haven't yet been convicted or haven't been sentenced, we really need to make sure that the rule of law is applying and that we're not just assuming that those people should be locked up and have the key thrown away, because actually they're on remand. They haven't been convicted of anything yet. So there is a need to distinguish people on remand from people who've been convicted. And it is really troubling that in Australia we have that greater proportion of people spending significant amounts of time in detention on remand. And part of that is an issue about the proper resourcing of the justice system and making sure that we are able to have a system that operates effectively and efficiently, both to preserve the rights of the individuals who've been charged with offences, but also to ensure that the community is better protected by having a well-functioning system in place.
Mm-hmm. And the working group came to Australia at the invitation of the federal government. Mm-hmm. It's pointed out some concerns in state systems particularly, or territory systems as well. What role can the Commonwealth play here in trying to address those issues? Does it have any levers it can pull to try and improve standards?
It absolutely does. And first and foremost, it can show a leadership role. The national government has a really important role to play in terms of bringing the states and territories together to make sure that they understand what the expectations are in terms of minimum standards, and to try to encourage them to engage with these sorts of mechanisms, because the transparency and the scrutiny that they bring is actually a really positive, constructive opportunity to make sure that we're showing the things that we're doing really, really well, but we're also taking the chance to learn from experts, to learn from others, to improve what it is that we're doing. But I think also the Australian government has an important role to play in the sense that they're the government ultimately that has the international obligations under all of the various treaties that Australia signed. So ultimately it's the Australian government that's responsible for Australia meeting its international human rights obligations. And unfortunately, with the recommendations that have made by the UN Working Group on Arbitrary Detention, there are some very clear issues that Australia needs to address if we are going to meet the promises that we've made to the rest of the world.
This Christmas, discover festive favourites at Harvey Norman. Gamers will love the latest gaming consoles. Tech fans, a sleek new smartphone. Active lifestyles, smart watches and fitness trackers. Music lovers, wireless headphones and portable speakers. Ice cream makers for dessert lovers. Air fryers for quick meals and outdoor grills for summer feasts. For fun and personal touches, instant photo printers, premium hair care and styling tools. From cutting-edge gadgets to lifestyle luxuries, find everything you need to celebrate at Harvey Norman.